Are you also tired of one-size-fits-all weight loss plans? Meet Noom, the personalized solution that meets you where you are. Noom is able to understand your unique needs, from dietary restrictions to medical concerns. Unlike restrictive programs, Noom embraces your lifestyle and choices. Discover a sustainable approach to weight loss, tailored just for you. Honestly, Noom felt like it was made for me. It's not just about what I eat. It's about understanding why. With Noom, I've learned so much about myself and built healthier habits that stick. It's all about progress, not perfection. Say goodbye to restrictive diets and experience the Noom app for yourself with personalized lessons and expert coaching. Noom's psychology and biology-based approach has helped over 5.2 million people achieve their goals. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Welcome back to Feminist Book Club, the podcast. We're not just about feminist books. We are here for social justice, literature, and media in all its forms. But we do that through an intersectional feminist lens. Thanks for being here. Let's get started. Hi, everyone. Renee here. I want to tell you a little bit about our September box. I am so excited to share our back-to-school box with you. And it's kind of an adult take on back-to-school essentials. So our book of the month for September, as you already know, is Word Slut, A Feminist Guide to Taking Back the English Language by Amanda Montell. We've got an interview with Amanda, a couple of interviews with her, actually, and this book was definitely one of my favorites of 2020. I keep telling people, like, this is the sociolinguistics class that you wish you had. It's fun, it's snarky, it's funny. This book is excellent. So in addition to Word Slut, our members will receive a tumbler from Get Bullish. Now this tumbler is an acrylic, clear, tall, skinny tumbler. The shape of it is just, like, excellent, and on the nerdy side of things, it fits perfectly in our boxes alongside this book. It's something so satisfying about that. For me, back to school is incomplete without a new water bottle or something. So this one says, I'm doing a juice cleanse, except instead of juice, it's righteous fury. And the thing I'm giving up is subjugation to male-dominated power structures. It is a mood, and I love it. Get Bullish is amazing. You've heard about them on this podcast. You've seen them on our Instagram. We have featured their products in our holiday bundles in the past. If you're looking for snarky, funny, deliberately and intentionally feminist, there it is. GetBullish.com is what you're looking for. The next product in our September box is a notebook. And we have two companies that we are featuring for our notebooks. So if one of the small businesses that we want to feature is really small and can't accommodate the volume that we need, we will get a couple of those businesses to provide the products that are of the same value. So we've done this before with candles. We've done it before for a couple other things, I think. So our members will receive a notebook from either Carolyn Suzuki or Night Owl Paper Goods. They're the same size, the same value, and they are both absolutely fantastic. These are miniature notebooks that fit perfectly in a handbag or a messenger bag. Great for journaling on the go, great for keeping notes about your books. And the designs from both Carolyn Suzuki and Night Owl Paper Goods are just so charming. I mean, there's really no other adjective I can use to describe these. They're so charming. And if you love paper goods, if you love stationery, you're going to love these notebooks. Next, speaking of paper goods and book nerdy things, we've got book plates from Quotations. First off, you have to check out Quotations. It's Quotations, founded by Janine Kuo. It's, you know, a pun. We love puns. Now, her branding is absolutely fantastic. It is so wholesome and full of heart and so full of making sure that we are all taking care of ourselves. She's a big mental health advocate. One of the things that, first off, I love small businesses. I love working with small businesses. She sent me a couple of extra little things just as a thank you, and I couldn't thank her enough. It's so kind. But one of the my favorite things that she sent us was a sticker that says, "It doesn't matter what you did or didn't do today, you deserve rest." And it's like, how did she know I needed to hear that? How did she know? But these book plates that we are including are perfect if you're the kind of person who tends to loan out books a lot but doesn't receive them back, speaking from experience. Like, wouldn't it be nice to have something in there that's like, anytime the person who has borrowed it looks at the front cover is like, "Oh yeah, this is Renee's book. I should get that back to her at some point." That's how I'm going to use them. But it's also, I mean, it's also fun just to have ownership of your books. Book collecting is fun. And these book plates are great for that. So again, that company is called Quotations. The next thing in our September back to school box, honestly, when I think back to school, I think lunchbox snacks. And my favorite lunchbox snack is Rice Krispie Treats. For me, there is nothing better than like gooey, warm Rice Krispie Treats that you've just made, where when you pull them out of the pan, they like fall apart. They like kind of melt. God, that is like next level. I'm gonna have to make some Rice Krispie Treats tonight. Anyways, we have scoured the internet for the most beautiful adult Rice Krispie Treats. And I don't mean adult like they've got penises on them. They don't. That's absurd. I mean adult in that it's like elevated. They're like fancy and pretty and like we deserve nice things because we're adults now, right? So these that we found are from Treat House. And this is a family operated organization in New York. They give back to the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. They provide treats for people suffering from blood diseases. I mean, you know, when a woman starts a business, like, it's going to give back somehow. It's just what we do. So we shouldn't be surprised. But I had one of the cookies and cream Rice Krispie Treats because, you know, I had to sample. Gosh. And cookies and cream is one of my favorite flavors of, like, anything. And it was yeah, it was, it took me to another place. It was absolutely delicious. So we've got 5 or 6 flavors of Rice Krispie Treats that will be included in our September boxes. And I can't wait to share them all with you. I can't wait for you to taste them. If you are vegan, you can request a vegan version. We did get a limited number of vegan Rice Krispie Treats. So please email us hello@feministbookclub.com as soon as you hear this, because we are going to start packing. We may have already started packing by the time you hear this. And additionally, the last thing you will find in your September Feminist Book Club box is a gorgeous postcard and a pin from Fuck Student Debt. You heard from that team earlier, and they have included just like this beautiful postcard that I might actually frame. And a little pin that says fuck student debt, because you know what? Fuck student debt. So that's going to be in there as well. If you are interested, if you're not a member already and you would like to join us, we would love to have you. Head over to feministbookclub.com/join and we will be shipping these out until September 9th. So you've got until September 9th to get this box. Then the price will go up. It'll go in our shop if we've got some left over and the price will go up. So if you want to lock in that $49 a month price, you got to get a subscription. So you can get that again at feministbookclub.com/join. And all of our subscription options are on that page. We can't wait to meet you. Today's episode is sponsored by Kobo. Where do you get your ebooks? We would love to suggest the free Kobo app. Whatever ebook you're in the mood for, they've got it. With over 6 million ebooks, the choices are endless. Some of my favorite features of the Kobo app is how organized it is. I have dozens of ebooks and I'm reading several at a time, so I love the option to create collections of my books, which I can then access through the app on any device. A better reading life truly starts with Kobo. Learn more at www.kobo.com, that's K-O-B-O, or download the free Kobo app today. Thank you to Kobo for sponsoring today's show.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Feminist Book Club podcast. I am Christine Ballo, and I am so excited to chat today with Jasmine Guillory, the queen of contemporary romance, one of my favorite authors. For anyone who hasn't read her books yet, what are you waiting for? For reals. But let me just give a quick little bio and then we're going to get started. So Jasmine Guillory is the New York Times bestselling author of 6 romance novels, including The Wedding Date, The Proposal, and While We Were Dating. Her work has appeared in O, The Oprah Magazine, Cosmopolitan, Bon Appetit, and Time. And she lives in Oakland, California. Hi, Jasmine. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello. Thank you for having me. It's so fun to be here.
Yay. Ah, okay. I'm so excited. I'm going to be like shaking with excitement this whole time. So I hope you don't mind. Listeners, I know you can't see me shaking, but you'll probably hear the excitement in my voice. Okay, so your 6th book, While We Were Dating, I've told you before that it's my favorite one of your books. And I mean, I love all of your books, but I think this one like hit me the most in the feels and all of that. And for anyone of our listeners who aren't familiar with While We Were Dating yet, can you give us like a little elevator pitch? Tell us a little bit about the book.
Yeah, so this book is about Ben and Anna. Ben is an advertising executive. Anna is the Hollywood star who is tapped to star in his newest ad campaign. And they are immediately attracted to one another when they start working together. But they know they can't really go anywhere. They're working together. Neither of them really wants that to happen anyway. Both of them have other stuff going on. But Ben helps Anna with a family emergency and their sort of attraction comes to a head at that point. And then they kind of spend the rest of the book figuring out what to do about it.
I love it. And what inspired you with the story and with these characters specifically to tell Ben and Anna's story?
Yeah. So, you know, Ben was a character in my 3rd book, The Wedding Party. His brother was one of the stars of that book. And Ben kind of came in a few times. And I realized as soon as I started writing Ben, I was like, oh, he's so fun to write. I think I might have to tell Ben's story at some point. And so, but it took me a little while to kind of figure out the story I wanted to tell for Ben. And I really wanted Ben's a real flirt. He's very attractive and he knows it. And I wanted him to kind of have the perfect foil for him. And so then, you know, I started thinking about writing him into a kind of Hollywood story and having him opposite a actress. And I really had to think about both kind of what kind of person would be right for Ben, but also whose story I wanted to tell. You know, you're in kind of writing this, you're getting into the head of someone for a long time. And I really had to figure out who Anna was, what kind of person she was, and why she would be perfect for Ben. And so I had a lot of fun writing these two. And I'm thrilled that you love their story.
Oh, yay. So I'm curious. So for anyone who maybe isn't familiar with the Guillory verse, you know, it started with the wedding date, and then each book has had a different character who is sort of a supporting role in the previous book, or at least one of them was a character in the previous book. Do you usually know who you want to write about next while you're working on the current book, or does it happen after the current book's completed? Like, tell us about that process a bit.
It has been a little different each time. So when I was writing The Wedding Date, first of all, The Wedding Date was like my first published book, so I didn't know if anything was going to come next. But when I was writing The Wedding Date, actually, the book that came to me while I was writing that was not The Proposal, which is the 2nd book, but The Wedding Party, which is my 3rd one. There's a scene in The Wedding Party, or in The Wedding Date, basically the first scene in The Wedding Party, just through other eyes. And when I wrote that scene in The Wedding Date, it's when, you know, Theo and Maddie, who are Alexa's sort of two best friends, interact for the first time on the page in The Wedding Date. And I remember writing that and thinking like, oh, these two are gonna go home together tonight. And so that, you know, I kind of knew that point, but I didn't really know anything else. So I sort of like put a pin in that and then ended up, you know, figuring that out and going back to it later. I knew that I loved writing Carlos, who is Jude's best friend in The Wedding Date, but I wasn't really sure what kind of story I wanted to tell for him. And then it wasn't until, you know, well after I'd finished writing the book and I had the idea for the proposal, and then I was like, oh, that's Carlos's story. So sometimes it's like I know I want to write about a character. Like I know a character has kind of sparked something for me, but I'm not quite sure what it is. Mm. And then I figure it out later, or sometimes I kind of figure it out while I'm writing the other book and then kind of note that down and then come back to it. And sometimes it, you know, sometimes it's years later when I really come back to that story. So it's really been a balance for each of the books.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Are there any characters from previous books that haven't had a story that you're hoping to one day make a book or story for? And can I request one for Nick's friend, Courtney, the cupcake baker from The Proposal?
You know, there are a lot of characters who I really love, who have been in previous books. So, you know, While We Were Dating is kind of the end of the Wedding Date series, as you know, people think of it. But I mean, never say never to bringing back old characters. That it might be years from now, but we'll see.
Well, speaking of, so are you okay? So are you working on like a new sort of world of characters now moving forward?
So then the next book is going to be very different. I can't really quite talk about it yet, but I will be able to sometime next month, I think. And then after that, we'll see, I think there might be a new world or there might not be. I think it just sort of depends on what works. I mean, I certainly didn't think that The Wedding Date was going to spawn, you know, five more books. So I try, you know, I am in many ways a planner for lots of things, but I do find that in writing, it helps to keep my options open and kind of let the discovery kind of take me where I want to go. So I'm definitely trying to let myself do that as I work on new things.
Awesome. Well, I can't wait till you're able to share more. We'll keep an ear out for it or an eye out for it. So for anyone who follows you on social media, like you bake a lot, you cook a lot. And I love seeing that creative outlet for you. And obviously it's a big part of your books as well. And I, you know, this relationship between food and love and comfort and nourishing and nurturing, what does that mean to you just as Jasmine, as a writer, as a person? And can you talk about that a bit?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, food means so many different things to me, right? Like I love to cook for a few different reasons. Like sometimes it's just self-soothing, right? It's a form of like stress relief. Like there have been a few times where I've found myself like looking at an email and being like, I don't know how to deal with this. This is going to be stressful. And then I just like, without even thinking about it, walk into the kitchen and start cooking. And it's not really because I want to eat, but it's because like the act of cooking soothes me. So I love to bake, but I don't actually have a big sweet tooth. So a lot of times I will like bake things just to like be able to bake them and then text people and be like, can I bring you cupcakes? Like when I got my COVID vaccine, I brought cupcakes to the people who gave me that. And I was like, I don't know. Are you allowed to take these? I have cupcakes. And they were like, yes, you can.
Yes, please.
So sometimes it's that. And then sometimes it's, you know, just like taking care of people, right? Like I, you know, one of my cousins is going to have a baby soon and I can't wait to like cook for her and bring her stuff to take care of her family and to like help people who are going through something either like good or bad. I think bringing someone food is a way to help deal with that. Like I, you know, during the pandemic, I had a friend who was going through cancer treatments and I couldn't be with her, but I like texted her husband and I was like, let me buy you guys dinner tonight, just because I wanted to like take care of them in some way that I could. Right. And then sometimes it's just about sharing a meal with people. Like I think about, you know, one of my closest friends who I've known, since seventh grade, she's actually the person I dedicated this book to, like her parents' house, whenever I'm there, because her parents still live there, and sometimes she's there with her kids and I'll go over there, like that kitchen table, I have sat around so many times eating food or like talking to her and her family. And I really think of it as like a warm, happy place, like sitting around a table with people I love.
Yes. Love it. As a Filipino from a very large family, it definitely hits home with me as well.
Yeah,
with that food and love and comfort. So, okay. I used to live in LA for 11 years. One of my things I did acting and dancing, and I did a lot of background commercial work, including for phones with very serious NDAs. So all of the stuff with Anna and Ben filming for the commercial, like it felt really authentic to me. And like, I really, you know, I felt like, okay, yeah, this is what being on set is like. And I was curious, like, what kind of research did you do for that? Or what kind of research do you do for the characters' jobs in general?
Yeah, you know, some of that is just like from stuff that I've done and stuff that I've experienced, but a lot of it was from talking to friends of mine who have played roles in that kind of world. So like friends who live in LA and who, you know, have either like worked in TV or worked in different parts of kind of celebrity culture, have like really helped me with like very specific parts of that kind of part of the storyline. And I think I reach out to a lot of people for research while I'm writing. And I think I'm always kind of nervous about it because it feels like, why would anyone want to talk to me while I'm working this? But people are often so generous with their time. And I think people like to share their expertise, you know, with other people. Like when I was working on Party of Two, for example, that's about, you know, Olivia is starting her own law firm during that book. And I was a lawyer before I was a writer, but I never worked in that kind of a small law firm. I don't have that kind of experience. And so I reached out to a lot of women who have started their own firms and talked to so many people who gave me such great advice and really helped me kind of craft that part of the story in a way that I absolutely wouldn't have been able to do if it hadn't been for them. And so I'm always so grateful for people who've really helped it in those kind of very specific details that you wouldn't know if you hadn't either experienced it yourself or talked to someone who had.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things I love about all of your books, you know, there's so many healthy friendships, and, you know, it's not just about the love story, which is obviously the main storyline, but like, I think anyone who talks to you for, you know, 2 minutes can see it's very clear that you're a good friend and that your friendships mean so much to you. And I love how that comes through in your books. But you know, they're still like three-dimensional people with their careers and their families and dreams and love and vulnerabilities. And I'm not sure what my question is. Honestly, I lost my train of thought. But I just had to say that and like put it out there. And if you want to comment on it, you're welcome to.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I think, you know, my friendships are really important to me. And I think over the past year, especially have really helped get me through, you know, this past year and a half. I think it's been such a hard time for so many of us, and having those personal connections with other people, even when we couldn't see each other in real life, has really meant the world to me. And so, you know, it was funny because certain things that like came out in writing, I will kind of realize later, like, oh, okay, I was going through something when dealing with that. And like there's one scene in While We Were Dating where it's like two friends who haven't seen each other for a while have like a long tearful hug. And after I wrote that, I was like, I see what I was doing there. Like, I miss my friends. And I have really missed seeing my friends, you know, during this time. A few weeks ago, I got to see two of my best friends for the, you know, first time in a year and a half. And it was just the best, you know, it's so good to be able to reconnect with people. And even though, I mean, I think a lot of my friendships have really sustained me during this time. And that connection is, I think, has been so important, especially in a time when we've all felt so disconnected from one another.
Mm-hmm. Another thing I love about while we were dating is the family dynamics as well. Like Anna's parents, I love them. And like the relationship with Theo and Ben, and no spoilers, but there is one of the best scenes ever involving Maddie and Theo in While We Were Dating. So for fans of the wedding party, you have something very amazing to look forward to. I was laughing hysterically. Can you talk about the family dynamics a bit as well?
Yeah, you know, I come from a very big, close-knit families on both sides, you know, my mom and dad's side. And there's, you know, I grew up around all of them. I have a ton of cousins. And we're all like very close and fight all the time, right? Like families do, and love each other a lot. And I think that's one thing that I, you know, Ben's family in many ways, like I thought about a lot as I was thinking about my own family. And, you know, like Ben has this kind of big sprawling text chain with his family, as I do with my own. And so, you know, family, I think, is very close to me. And I really do think about like your family in many ways shapes who you are and who you think about yourself as. And so I really thought about that when I was thinking about Ben. You know, he is a younger brother, and I think there is a kind of different relationships younger siblings have with the world and with like their older siblings, right? He and Theo have a very like older brother, younger brother kind of relationship. And so I was thinking about that, about the sibling relationship and with his mom and with his extended family. And so that was really something that I thought about a lot as I was working on this book.
Yay. okay, the romance genre. It's feminist as fuck. Like, it's, you know, consent, a woman's pleasure, like friendships, all of that. How does feminism inform your writing?
Yeah, you know, I think at core, I really think about in a story that I'm going to tell, like, how am I going to make this woman that I am writing about, like, happy and fulfilled in her life? And what, you know, where does she come from? Who is she? And then what are the kind of forces keeping her down? Because they're always out there. And how does she, how do they affect her? How does she push past them? How does she not push past them in some ways? And how does she have like agency in her life? And I think that is, you know, I don't consciously think about all of those questions as I'm figuring out a character, but I think at core, these are all of the questions that make me figure out who a person is and how they will go through their life and their life in the books that I'm telling and in the story that I'm telling. And so it, you know, feminism, I think, has played a real part in my whole life. So it plays a part in everything I write.
Awesome. Well, it definitely comes through in your books really, really well. So
thank you
for that. You know, I've been a fan of yours since The Wedding Date came out, and I was scrolling through my Bookstagram account and I found my picture of The Wedding Date from February 2018. Oh. And I had said, quote, "This is one of my favorite books I've read in this genre, and I hope to see more like it getting published." And I think, you know, since that came out, like, there's been a big change in the romance genre, or at least like what's being marketed, what's being promoted in the last couple of years. It's more diverse, more inclusive, and I know that you've been a huge part of that. And I just love to hear your thoughts on the genre, how it's grown and changed in the last couple of years, and what you're hoping to see maybe for the next, you know, few years to come.
Yeah, I think, you know, people have always been writing these books, but now publishers are finally paying attention. And I'm so delighted to see that. And it's not just publishers, like it's, you know, agents, publishers, bookstores, libraries are all paying attention. You know, when I first started reading a lot of romance, I was like mostly reading a lot through my library. And it was so much of the romance that my library had was just about white people. And I like reading books about white people, fine. I've read them my whole life, but I do want to read more like diverse books and books about people of color, especially romances. And now there's such a change in what I see that my library has available, what I see when I walk into a bookstore. Not only is there more romance about, you know, people of color, but there's just more romance in general in bookstores that I see, which has really made me so happy. And, you know, I see it in what publishers are doing, the deals that they're giving, and the marketing pushes that they're giving to authors. You know, that has been, especially now that I have, you know, been in publishing for a while, I can tell when publishers are working hard on the side of their authors. And I've really seen that for a number of books in the past, you know, 3-4 years. And that's been something that I am really excited about. And I want to see that continue. You know, I don't want diversity to be a trend. I want this to be something that publishers are making a core part of their business from now on. And so I really hope that they are paying attention about, you know, seeing that there's a huge audience out there for these books. And we have seen that over the past few years. And the audience like sort of keeps coming and consuming books about, you know, people of color, people of all sorts of different genders, people in all kinds of different relationships. And I love that. And I love to see it. And I just want it to keep going.
Absolutely. Me too. And, you know, as someone who works at a bookstore, I know we at Loyalty, we're definitely like doing our part to encourage the romance genre because we love it.
Yeah. Well, we love you guys.
Yay. So, and then with that in mind too, like if I've seen you've blurbed a book, I will always add it to my priority TBR. Cause I'm like, okay, if Jasmine likes it, then I know I'm almost definitely going to like it. So with that being said, like, I imagine that blurbs and keeping them like fresh and engaging and unique for the book could be challenging.
Like, oh my gosh, it's so hard.
how do you do it?
It's so hard. I what I should have done from the very beginning, and I didn't do, is to like keep a spreadsheet with like all the blurbs that I've written, just so that I only blurb a book if I love it, right? But it is hard to like write 3 sentences about a book and say exactly why I love it. Like I can write 2 paragraphs that show how different a book is, but like a sentence or two that's going to be on the top of a book is much harder. And so that really takes like, there's a book that I read a few weeks ago that I was like, oh, I love this book. I'm going to blurb it. I haven't written the blurb yet. Cause like, I don't know quite how to describe it. And so that is something that definitely takes a while, and I apologize in advance if my blurbs are repetitive, but just know that I only blurb books that I love.
Well, I think that comes through. But yeah, it's hard. And as a bookseller too, like doing blurbs, because I'm not an academic reviewer, I'm a feelings reviewer. Right. And I'm like, I don't know, y'all. I just loved this book. Yeah. Like, I just want to hold it and like hug it. And
I just want to hug it to my chest. Yeah. Like,
can we just say that for everything? Yeah. All right. So we're going to wrap up pretty soon. So just a couple last few questions. So favorite tropes as a writer versus as a reader, do they line up? Do they differ? Tell us.
As a reader, I love marriage of convenience. I find it so fun to read. I have read tons of them. I love most of them that I've read. I don't know exactly what it is about the books, but there's just something about like two people who don't really know each other, who get married and then fall in love. Like, I love it. I have never tried to write one, I think partly because they seem hard to write in a contemporary world. But I think that they are out there. So maybe someday I will try that. I think fake dating is really kind of the contemporary version of that in many ways. And I do love a fake dating story. So I have a lot of fun with that. So yes, those I think are my favorites. I also do love like a forced proximity romance, like they are stuck in a cabin together and then have to, which I think in some ways is kind of, it's kind of the same idea as a Marriage Convenience, just in a, you know, shorter time frame. So I've never tried to write one of those yet either, but maybe that will come. But I think everyone loves the, and there was only one bed. Oh God. Yeah, keep it coming.
Chef's kiss. Like that's yeah, I love that trope. And fake dating.
Yeah.
I mean, I really like almost all tropes. And you do them so well.
Oh, well,
and in a fresh way as well. So are there any books or authors you'd like to recommend to our listeners? Make sure they're on our radar.
Yeah, I really loved, I mean, this book has been getting a ton of press, but I really loved 7 Days in June, Tia Williams' new book. You know, it was Reese's pick in June. It was like, that was such a good romance, but all, there were so many difficult things that she dealt with in that book, but it was still such a fresh, fun, engaging story that like really kept you going. I had so much fun reading that. I have just started reading Somebody's Daughter, Ashley Ford's memoir, which is really wonderful and so thoughtful. I'm really looking forward to finishing that one. I adore Leah Johnson's writing. I loved her new book, Rise to the Sun, which came out just a few weeks ago, I think. I had a lot of fun reading that. And she really like talks about difficult issues going on, I think, in that one. And I like really had a lot of fun with that. And I really cannot wait to dive into Helen Huang's new book, The Heart Principle, which I am very excited to get to. I can't, because I loved her first two books. So I'm really excited for that one.
Same. I love all the books you've mentioned. Yeah. 7 Days in June was one of my favorite books of the year.
Yeah.
I, at an event, Tia Williams had said something about, you know, with that book, like, do soulmates have an expiration date? And I just, there was something about that, like, that made me, it was just like, oh, chills for anyone who hasn't read the book. Highly recommend. So to wrap up, in the beginning of While We Were Dating, Ben calls his brother Theo from the wedding date in need of a pep talk. And I love your pep talks that you do sometimes on your Instagram stories. Where did that idea come from? How are you at giving your pep talk, yourself pep talks? And sorry, it's a lot of questions all at once. And then maybe we can wrap up with like a little communal pep talk for our listeners.
Great idea. You know, that I started doing, I did, I think, my first Instagram story pep talk sometime last fall, maybe, when it was really because I was having a bad day. You know, I was having one of those like hard pandemic days, I think, that we've all had, where just like everything felt endless. And I needed a pep talk for myself. And so I was sort of like, let me try to use this energy and like give pep talks to other people and see if anybody else needs this right now. And, you know, it was really so wonderful to be able to like help other people. Cause at first I was like, I don't, are people going to care like what I have to say? But people really told me, you know, things that they were going through. And I think one thing that was so relatable about it is that so many people sort of felt like their concerns were small and silly, right? Because we were all going through this big thing and so many people were like sick or in the hospital or dying or dealt with big things. But then, you know, people were like, I feel bad complaining that I just lost my job, but, you know, but I'm going through this, or like people dealing with mental health issues, or, you know, going through a pregnancy on their own during the pandemic without being able to see their families, or like things like that. And I think, you know, so many people thought their concerns were little, but they were what consumed them, right? And so that was one thing that I like really kind of tried to tell people, was like, stop feeling guilty about feeling bad, because I think that just adds another layer of feeling bad to all of us. Like, oh, I shouldn't be feeling bad right now. And that just makes you feel worse, right? And so I think, you know, kind of trying to understand like why you feel so bad, and let people try to cheer us up, you know. And one of the wonderful things is like people have reached out to me months later and told me like, oh, you told me to keep going with my writing and now I have an agent, or you told me to do this and like now I got a new job, or like little, you know, or even much smaller things. And I think that has been really wonderful for me to hear, because I think I kind of started doing that at a time when I needed comfort, and I'm so happy that I could help comfort other people.
I love that. Thank you so much. This has been amazing. Seriously, everyone, if you haven't read While We Were Dating yet, snag a copy. It's awesome. And if you haven't read any of the other books in this wedding date universe, it's okay. Like, they stand alone. But obviously, if you've read them all, you'll see some familiar people in them, and it's a delight. Jasmine, thank you so much. This has been amazing.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been so fun.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of Feminist Book Club, the podcast. Want to be part of the club? Here's how you can join us. Obviously, subscribe to our podcast and leave a rating and review for brownie points. Follow along on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, and TikTok. All of those links are in the show notes. Sign up for our newsletter to be the first to know what our next monthly book pick is. And check out our award-winning monthly book subscription service. Oprah Magazine named it one of their favorite book boxes, and Shonda Rhimes called us one of her favorite subscription boxes in general. There are multiple membership levels for any budget, and it's an excellent way to support the show and the voices you heard today. See you in the club.
A well-read woman is a dangerous creature.
If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.